persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Warning. Pastor Scheidbach is not politically correct, and even more shocking, he is a Christian who uses the word God and prays in Jesus' name in public. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. The brain massage show is ready to go. Get ready. Your brain is about to get a massage.
Our sympathies to all of those devastated by the earthquake in Haiti. God give rest to the many children released from the hellish fiends who use them as prostitutes in that wicked city, Port-au-Prince. Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur, and I'm ready to massage the gray matter, freeing the mind from liberal lies with light of truth therapy. Captain America's sidekick, Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lanterns in the church belfry arch that signaled the enemies on the march, an enemy who would steal from us our liberty. The commies are coming! The commies are coming! The commies are here? I did not get to finish my comments on the Brit Hume brouhaha, so I want to do that today, and it folds well into my theme for this broadcast. The commies are here. A few weeks ago, Brit Hume was asked for his comments, his personal opinion, about whether Tiger Woods would recover from the scandal that is dragging him down like quicksand. Mr. Hume made the statement that he believed Tiger would reemerge as a golfer, but that so far as his personal recovery was concerned, that depended upon his faith. Brit Hume, an out-of-the-closet Christian, by the way, who, according to Reuters, Reuters. By the way, the lady who called and corrected my mispronunciation of that word a few shows back, isn't it interesting that we anglicize the last syllable and insist on the German pronunciation for the first one? Well, my name is Scheidbach, after all. Scheidbach. And so if I'm going to say it in German, I'm going to say it in German. If I'm going to say it in English, I'll say it in English. In English, it's Reuters, and in German, it's Reuters. Ha! Actually, I'm just kidding. Thank you for pointing that out. It was a slip of the tongue, a sort of verbal typo. We understand, of course, that Reuters is the standardized pronunciation here in America. Anyway, Hume was the host of the highest-rated political program on cable TV back in 2005, but he decided to step out and become an independent news analyst. He has worked in the mainstream media, as it is called, for something like 40 years before he went rogue, ha ha, and broke away from the nets and became an independent news analyst. This is important, for it was in this capacity. An independent news analyst, known, by the way, to be a Christian, he certainly hasn't hidden that fact, that Brit Hume was asked what advice he might have for Tiger, and he said something to the effect that Tiger should turn to Christianity, which offers a clear path of redemption. He also said that he understood Tiger was Buddhist, that he did not believe that religion provided any clear path to redemption, and that he recommended Christianity because it did provide such a path. And, of course, the netheads went ballistic and accused him of denigrating Christianity by bringing up the issue, and this began a conversation about the appropriateness of even mentioning Christianity in the public square, as it is so called. In case you don't know it, I am a strong advocate of talking religion and politics right out loud and in public places. In fact, these subjects are inseparable, which is why our founders often encourage us to be careful about who we elect to the various government offices. One's political opinions are inextricably connected to one's religious beliefs. This includes persons who claim to have no religious beliefs, by the way. Of course, then we immediately get into the quagmire of having to define our terms, so allow me. By religion, I'm not talking about the cultus of any particular religious system. I'm talking about one's personal beliefs about the origin of nature and the nature of man. And the hard fact is that there is abundant evidence for intelligent design and nothing but philosophical arguments and ideology for denying it. All of nature points to a designer. To deny intelligent design requires stubborn refusal to look at nature honestly and without a bias against so-called religion. And that's a fact, ma'am. I have had the pleasure, dubious as it might be thought to be, to speak to honest atheists who will admit that the abundant testimony of design in nature suggests a designer, duh, and that the theory of evolution presents enigmas at least as paradoxical as any raised by faith in a creator. However, that, nevertheless, apparent design in nature does not, in their mind, prove a creator, and since that assumption is particularly repugnant to them, they will hold out for proof positive that there is no creator. They will hold out for proof of evolution. In other words, I have often heard them say something like, until something better comes along, we need evolution, if for no other reason, to keep religion out of science. Now, think about that. You see, what they fail to appreciate is that this is nothing else but a philosophical point of view based on their personal opinions or feelings about religion and assumptions about the influence religion has on one's ability to reason clearly. I want you to think about this. The fact is, everyone reasons from some sort of, some set of presuppositions that are believed or taken on faith. Oh, that's right, including the secular humanist or the secularist. Oh, yeah, he believes some fundamental things about nature that are not empirically provable, but they are agreeable to his sense of reason, and so he accepts them even though they are not provable. Those who believe in a creator also accept some answers to fundamental questions by faith. The argument becomes, which is most reasonable? And I say the secularist has the greatest challenge because, well, he has to argue against the intuitive sense resonant in all men that there is someone out there, and the plethora of evidence that this someone must have been intelligent and all-powerful, because intelligent design is everywhere testified to in nature. Everyone reasons from some set of presuppositions, my friends, that are accepted by faith. For it takes arrogant and willful credulity to deny the existence of God. So, really, the question is not whether the observer, scientist, philosopher, whatever, is interpreting what he sees within some paradigm constructed on suppositions about certain fundamental questions taken on faith or unfaith, if you will. The real question is whether or not the observer is honest. Or to put it another way, the question is not whether or not the scientist believes there is a God or there is not a God, whether he believes in evolution or creation. Both of these are belief systems. The question is whether or not the individual is honest. So I ask you, does the average scientist today have a value system that encourages honesty, truthfulness? You know, the whole business of evolution has ruined science. It really has. First, it undermined the faith that shaped our country and culture, a faith that established God as the supreme judge of the earth, whose laws were to be obeyed by his creatures. Then second, having undermined this faith, it undermined the social conscience of our culture that supported values like, well, truth-telling, honesty, you know, things like that. Having compromised our faith in a creator who gave us his laws to live by, well, then there is no longer a moral compass guiding scientific research. There are no longer any absolute values or truths that govern them and compel their conscience to be honest. So third, the result has been that lying has become as common among scientists as it has been for many years in certain liberal Christian communities. Now we regularly have the sort of scandals in science that used to be common pretty much only among the snake oil salesmen and the snake handling preachers. Really, now we have scientists that are the equivalent of the Catholic priest who in medieval days would raise money for the unholy church by going from town to town selling skulls of John the Baptist. True story, by the way, a priest displaying two skulls on a table at a fair, and one of a child and one of and another skull of an adult. And an honest but ignorant farmer asks the obvious question, did John the Baptist have two heads? The priest chastised the farmer for his absurd ignorance and explained, of course not. The smaller of the two skulls was John the Baptist when he was a child. That actually happened. Hence, global warming is built on a pack of scientific lies. Recently, we learned that the whole America is fat nonsense has been built on deceitful science. You see, science has been corrupted by the theory of evolution, not because someone had a theory, but because someone turned that theory into a religion, the religion of secular humanism, and became committed to the theory for ideological reasons. You understand, surely, that denying the existence of God is itself a religious opinion. Hello? Furthermore, I have worked in education. I know something about explicit, implied, and null curricula. Of course, the explicit curriculum is what is expressly taught, what is positively affirmed or stated plainly. The implied curriculum is what is insinuated. What is implied in order to encourage certain inferences will be taken from what is expressly said. Then there is what is called the null curriculum. The null curriculum is what is taught by omitting certain things, or what is said about something by the fact that the subject is avoided or ignored. When you have a curriculum in public schools that purposely omits any mention of God, well, that in itself says something about the issue of God to the kids. It says either that the information is unimportant, irrelevant, or that it is something purposely hidden and mysterious, or that it has no place in public discussion. Now, I happen to know for a fact that our founders crafted the Constitution and amended it with the Bill of Rights specifically because they believed in talking religion and politics freely in public places. So, Brit Hume talks openly about his Christian faith when making a personal statement regarding a matter of opinion, and the secularists are all offended. But, as I said before, the real issue is not that someone is offended about Brit Hume's opinion. Opinions tend to offend people who don't agree with them. It's that they believe his opinion has no place in the public square. That is what is disturbing about all of this. And it's part of an overall effort to excise God out of American culture. It is an effort to pull America out from under God. Obama has been the most ardent supporter of this movement of late. He is the first American president in our history who has openly declared America was once a Christian nation but is no longer. Some of you don't believe there is a concerted effort, a conspiracy, if you will, to remove all emblems of the Christian religion from American culture. But let me tell you, we've got a significant number of people who are working to bring homos out of their closets and to push Christians into them. And they don't mind closet Christians. And then to turn the analogy a bit to make an important point, it is interesting that the queers are crawling out of their closets in direct proportion to the number of Christians who have vacated theirs, their prayer closets, that is. I mean, just look what is going on. The Antichrist spirit is poking up its head and manifesting in our culture everywhere. Quote, the Texas Board of Education is holding public hearings and will vote this week on the content of textbooks, end quote. By the way, I'm reading from an article I found on onenewsnow.com. Quote, one of the major problems is a push by a small group that wants to censor religious information regarding historical figures from textbooks, end quote. Who listening to me right now does not agree with Mr. Sayings when he says, quote, if you're going to talk about history and social studies, we should be doing it accurately. We should do it in a factual way, end quote. Well, duh. And yet, these people who are wanting to censor any information about a person's religious ideas or opinions from being discussed in a textbook, I mean, even when those religious ideas and beliefs were an important part of that person's history. Well, these are the same people who criticize ideological censorship otherwise. You see, only Christianity is taboo. What? That they want us to pretend no religious beliefs had any influence in our history? What kind of stupidity is that? Isn't that interesting, by the way? The TV scriptwriters have been doing this for many, many years. I mean, really, how often do you find fair-minded, honest representations of Christians on TV or in the movies? It has gotten a little bit better, I've noticed, but not very much. I mean, there are groups, by the way, that count the number of times a queer is presented favorably on TV and put all sorts of pressure on the movie makers to portray queers in a positive way when they represent something like 3-4% of the American population. Christians of one stripe or another make up over 70% of the population, and yet you rarely see people praying or attending church or reading their Bible or anything like that on TV in a positive way, even though most Americans do these things as a regular part of their lives. So you see, there is a growing Antichrist bias exerting direct influence in our culture with the stated objective of removing Christianity from having any part in public discussion or any influence on public policy in any matter of interest to us politically, scientifically, philosophically, or whatever, even on social issues. What is this about? How do you explain the irrationality of these people wanting to eliminate any mention of our religious heritage to our students studying our history, when not only would that be inaccurate, it would be absurd? No other group in our culture is being asked to deny their heritage. In fact, all of the subgroups, you know, the hyphenated Americans, well, they're encouraged to flaunt their distinctive heritage as part of what makes America great. You know, all the diversity stuff. except Christians. Christians are required to hide their heritage, to publicly deny it. And we ask ourselves why. Look at the people Obama has appointed to his cabinet. Kevin Jennings, Kathleen Sebelius, and Shai Feldblum have all openly, they're on record for being Antichrist. Now, you might think I mean that they are the Antichrist, but what I mean is these people are in sympathy with the spirit of Antichrist. That is, that they are openly opposed to Christianity. Not just, you know, Christianity ain't my bag, man, but these people are aggressive opponents of the Christian faith having any kind of influence on public polity. And they have a conviction about this. They consider it a negative influence in society. It ought to be restricted and pushed out of the public square. So you have an openly Antichrist president appointing openly Antichrist people into positions of significant influence and power in our society. Kathleen Sebelius is the most radical pro-abortion advocate in America. She is, quote, awash in George Tiller's abortion industry money. That's how she built her political career, and that's a documented fact, end quote, said the president of the Christian Anti-Defamation Commission. Obama has made her the Health and Human Services czar. The government health care program they want to shove down our throat will likely come under her supervision. Yikes. He appointed Jennings over the schools, oh my soul, the most radical, Christian-hating, by the way, bigoted homosexual activists in America. Remember Fistgate? It is terrifying what this president is doing to our country. The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, EEOC, is headed by Chai Feldblum, who, when asked, quote, do you foresee any time when religious liberty might trump homosexual rights, end quote, said, quote, no, it's simply gays win, Christians lose, end quote. Isn't that interesting? You see, her answer reveals an attitude of extreme bias against Christians. Why? Why this irrational knee-jerk despite for the rights of Christians? Well, the answer to this mystery is found where the answer to so many mysteries are found. Bible thump alert! Bible thump alert! Quote, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, end quote. That's Ephesians 2:2. You see, there are two spirits operating in this old world today. One is the spirit of Antichrist. The Apostle Paul spoke of this. Oh, wait. Bible thump alert. Bible thump alert. When he said that the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world in 1 John 4:3. And then there is the spirit of Jesus Christ. Hey, what do you think about that name, Jesus Christ? Anyway, John 16:7-13. Sent into the world to reprove it of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Which is one reason the world does not like that spirit. And, by the way, also the spirit of Jesus Christ. You okay? You heart palpitations, sweaty palms, you all right? Take a deep breath. The spirit of Jesus Christ says that Jesus is Lord. The spirit of Antichrist says that we will not have that man to rule over us. And that's the battle going on in this culture right now. This is particularly relevant to America's history because our founders recognized the lordship of Jesus Christ and did so publicly. You probably don't know about that if you went to public school, but it's true. They recognized that Jesus would one day come and rule the world. And they said things like we should pray until all the world bows their knee to the scepter of Jesus Christ. We understand that the founders got it. They understood this. And while Christ's servants are being lazy, good-for-nothing, worthless, panty-waist, noodle, spine, milk, toast, weasels, the bottom line is this. We understand that you citizens of the world have made it clear that you will not have him to rule over you. Yeah, we get it. Anyway, but all I've got to say to you is, look out, fella, he's going to return, and you're going to be very unhappy about your Antichrist attitude. Anyway, Brit Hume has been hammered for recommending Christianity to Tiger Woods and expressing his opinion that Buddhism does not provide the redemption that is available in the Christian faith. And in my last show, I explained some things about Buddhism that shows that he was right. Anyway, I understand, by the way, that MSNBC's Tamron Hall chimed in with this slap at Christianity and at Brit Hume for recommending Christianity to Tiger because Brit Hume believes it provides a path to redemption not found in Buddhism. Hall says, and I'm quoting, by the way, quote, Pat, do we need to run down the list just in the past year of so-called Christian politicians who've been accused or in many cases flat out had to admit because they were backed up against the wall that they had affairs and other discretions, end quote. And I quoted that right off her transcript, and what she meant, no doubt, of course, was indiscretions. But anyway, emotions speak often causes people to misspeak. It happens to all of us. But you get the idea of what she's saying. Now, Tamron thinks that she's made some sort of point with us. I mean, like swish or something. But the fact is, she's totally missed the backboard, man. Isn't it interesting how these people do not listen? And even more amazing, isn't it incredible how they just don't get Christianity at all? Hume was talking about the truth, and he even said this, that Christianity is a religion for sinners, and that it affords a path for redemption that cannot be found in Buddhism. He was not saying Christianity is a religion that guarantees you will never sin or fall or fail. What kind of nonsense is that? It's a religion for sinners. It's about redemption. You see, in Tiger's case, Buddhism, which is supposed to lead to enlightenment, making the Buddhist free from appetites, it neither protected him from his own appetites, appetites that have brought him into such misery, nor does it now offer to him a path of redemption. In Buddhism, my friend, it's like pay your karma, buddy. Christianity certainly does offer a power to overcome temptation. But also, if you fail to live up to it, it also offers a path of redemption. It's like Ann Coulter said, quote, if you can find a better deal, take it, end quote. All right, it's time for a break. Know what? No time for a break. Mercy, did it again. Let's roll. Jerry Scheidbach here, brain masseur, Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter, lighting the lights in the Belfry Arch, alerting my fellow God-fearing patriots that the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. The commies are coming, the commies are coming, the commies are here, and they're tearing our country to pieces. Look at this. Remember the Black Panthers that stood outside a polling booth in Philadelphia, threatening voters and intentionally intimidating white voters particularly? Well, we've been concerned, with reason, about this business that the temporary attorney general at the time this all developed, and now the appointed attorney general, have refused to prosecute these criminals. A Republican on the House Judiciary Committee in Congress put forward a resolution before that committee that would have required the Justice Department, headed by Obama-appointed Derek Holder, to explain to Congress why the Justice Department interfered in the case and dismissed a civil complaint against these Black Panther members. Well, I learned today that the committee rejected this resolution by a 15-14 vote. It was, of course, voted right down party lines. Representative Wolf, who I think presented the resolution, said, quote, there has been no oversight, no accountability, and certainly no transparency with regard to this attorney general and this Department of Justice, end quote. And we all ask with this congressman, but we feel like we're just throwing our words against the wall, but we ask, quote, where is the unprecedented transparency that this administration promised, end quote. Well, that has become a very unfunny joke. Obama, Pelosi, and Reid are commiserating behind closed doors. The scuttlebutt is that they are scheming to ram their health care compromise through Congress without giving the people a chance to know what is in the bill before they vote. It's also come out that they have offered a Nebraska-style compromise to big labor union bosses, exempting union workers and union shops from carrying the tax burden everyone else is going to have to carry to fund it. It's unbelievable. That is true. You've heard about the Nebraska Compromise, surely. Nebraska insurance companies won't have to pay the tax all other states will collect from insurance companies in their states. This is flat out illegal. You can't treat the states differently. It's very likely going to blow up in their faces. So I read somewhere that the Nebraska representative is backing off this a bit, but you know how these snakes work. Oh, they go one way, the other way, sliming about. They'll just find some other way to accomplish the same thing. These people are filthy, lying snakes. Guess what? And get ready to blow your top. Three union bosses met with Obama on Monday and with Pelosi on Wednesday in extensive secret negotiations. Then, Obama, Pelosi, and Reid got together with nine other members of Congress to hammer out a compromise on the health bill between the Senate and the House version. The three union bosses are AFL-CIO President Richard Trumka, Service Employees International Union President Andy Stern, and United Auto Workers President Ron Gettelfinger. While Pelosi, Reid, and Obama closeted themselves apart with their hand-picked representatives to discuss the deals they're making behind closed doors with these union bosses, well, these three union bosses were just down the hallways, meeting in a separate room in the White House with other Obama administration officials. I mean, wow, talk about secret meetings closed to the public, deals behind closed doors. This is the guy who told us there would be unprecedented openness. He even said such meetings would be held in the light of C-SPAN cameras. Anyway, this fellow holding the office of president today is the greatest weasel we've ever had in the Oval Office. God help us. Well, what did they agree to? According to the Heritage Foundation article, Morning Bell, behind closed doors, unions win, you lose. Quote, and just what deals were big labor and the leftist majorities in Congress and the Obama administration making behind closed doors? How to pay for President Obama's likely $1 trillion health care plan without raising taxes on one of the president's most loyal constituencies, labor unions. Specifically, big labor has purportedly struck a deal with the health care negotiators to exempt union members from the 40% excise tax on high-priced health insurance premiums. So, folks, now big labor will get all of the big government health care spending they always wanted, but they're not going to have to pay for it. But wait, it gets even more absurd. Obamacare's big labor handouts don't end there. The legislation also set aside $5 billion to subsidize the costs of employer health benefits for early retirees. Well, guess what? Few non-union employers pay pension and health benefits for workers who retire at 55. So, all this money, or virtually all of it, will go to union jobs. Oh, and there's more. There is something called the small business exemption from the employer mandate for all companies under 50 employees. Quote, at first, this applied to all small businesses, but after aggressive lobbying by big labor, non-unionized construction businesses were unexempted, end quote. And it gets even more evil. Quote, big labor lobbyists explicitly admitted they wanted to use Obamacare's job-killing employer mandates as a competitive advantage to drive non-unionized firms out of business, end quote. Folks, this is the communist takeover of our country that was prophesied by Nikita Khrushchev in the 60s, who said, quote, we can't expect the American people to jump from capitalism to communism, but we can assist their leaders by giving them small amounts of socialism until they awaken one day to find out they have communism, end quote. He also said Russia would bury America, remember hammering his shoe on the podium, and that they would conquer us without firing a shot. My dear friends, what you see going on in Washington today is the communists have taken our country by coup, and they're converting us to communism without firing a shot. Well, I've lit the lights in the Belfry Arch that signal the enemy's on the march. Call in and let me know that you see the lights are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. And that number again is 1-888-770-8000 or 1-888-770-8000. And just leave me a message. Say lights on if you agree, lights off if you disagree. And you can reach me by email. Go to santamarialighthouse.org, click on the Contact Us button, and then write a message to me. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If you find yourself suddenly feeling like someone turned on a bright light inside your head, and this is followed by a sense of euphoria, described by some as a feeling that you have just been enveloped into the warm and comforting embrace of the truth, then you are a lights on listener. However, if you experience sudden bursts of rage, uncontrolled trembling of the lower lip, sweaty palms, and mental disorientation, then you are definitely a lights-off listener. Now that you know what symptoms to look for, call 888-770-8000 and leave your message. Is it lights on or lights off? Call 888-770-8000. The pastor is ready to receive your message.